Welcome to Crappy Friends, the podcast that discusses female friendships, the good, the bad, the ugly. Girl power defeating bitchery since 2018.
I have dog grossness on my arm. It's fine.
I'm New York Times bestselling author Kristen Ingham.
Yes, I've written a book.
And she's USA Today bestselling author Justine. And my dog just slobbered on her.
I love chunks. Who needs chunks?
He is gifted. He is gifted in the drool department. I'm terribly sorry. Oh dear.
Oh gosh.
Well, you know, we have been drinking wine.
Yes.
And eating cheese.
Charcuterie.
And,
yes.
My dog and cat have been worshiping at the throne of Joss Day.
Which is fine with me.
No happens every time.
Yeah, no, it's fine. So we have a new fun letter from high schooler, which, you know, I like the
young people. I do want to preface something by saying we are going to do a podcast next time about what to look out for when you are young and maybe not so experienced in the ways of the world.
Yes,
because we do have a lot of young listeners, and we are very glad that you're listening, my dears. And we have some great advice to give you, and it's kind of inspired by a letter that we'll take on later this month.
Yes.
But for now,
yes,
Joss is going to read this week's letter. Pray continue.
Yes. Dear ladies, I'm a senior in high school and found your podcast while looking for another podcast about Friends, the TV show, not actual Friends. I'm hooked. Sorry, I don't know about your books, but I will now read them. Thank you.
Thank you.
I have a question about my friends, my actual friends, not the TV show. I won't use real names here, but instead pay tribute to my home state. Macon is a really sweet guy, and we've gotten close over our years in school together. At the end of last year, he came out as gay during a Zoom thing in front of basically the whole school.
Wow.
It was brave.
Very brave.
Very much so. It made me feel even closer to him because it was something I always thought about in the back of my mind, but didn't want to say anything to him and be wrong.
Right. You don't want to out someone else.
Absolutely. Yeah. Savannah is my friend from when we were much younger. And just this year, she and her family moved back into our county and she started going to my school. I haven't seen her in a long time, but it's nice that we hang out again. Great, right? Mostly. But this is the weird thing. So Macon has these gatherings. Used to be in Zoom, but now they're at his house, where he plays music that he loves and we all hang out. Music has always been his thing, and he's really into a wide variety, and he plays everything from punk to Joni Mitchell.
Wow.
I mean this in a nice way, but he's like a quiet nerd, which is
we love Macon right now.
And we love him.
You know, punk to Joni Mitchell.
Charming.
He has great taste in music.
He's adorable. But when I brought Savannah around to one of the few weeks, she acted like he was Jonathan Van Ness or something.
Okay.
Who is that?
Moment. Jonathan Van Ness is the most ebullient of the Fab Five from Queer Eye.
Got it.
He's the hairstylist.
I love him.
He identifies as they, them.
Yes.
And he is the kindest, sweetest man.
Yes.
He has the most beautiful hair.
He has gorgeous hair.
One can imagine.
And he's like a cheerleader.
He was once a cheerleader.
I feel like he's still trying to be a cheerleader.
He is a cheerleader for humanity.
Indeed.
Let's put it this way.
That's true.
So he is very over the top.
Yes.
And he says things like, you know, oh my God.
Yes.
And he cries a lot.
Yes.
And
he's wonderful.
He's magnificent.
Yes. Okay. So she acted like Macon was Jonathan Van Ness or something. I can't explain it, but she was like, yes, girl, you look fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
Who's your boyfriend? Do you have any makeup tips? She was being so extra. And Macon was just like, thanks. He's very quiet most of the time, and this basically shut him down. Maybe I'm obsessing over nothing because Savannah didn't say anything mean or bitchy, but it just felt wrong. I don't think she's homophobic, but she doesn't even know that Macon and treated him like a stereotype. I didn't say anything to Macon about it, and I didn't say anything to Savannah either, but I'm mad at her. If she acted this way around my uncles, who are gay, I would be really embarrassed too. It's me who brought Savannah over to his place, Megan's place. She's my friend, so I feel responsible. I don't know why she said those things, but maybe she was nervous. Or she thinks all gay people act that way. The whole thing was so uncomfortable, and I think I maybe screwed up two friendships. I don't know what to do. Help. Signed, Georgia, with lots on her mind. How adorable.
Oh, my gosh.
I love the punning.
Savannah, Macon, Georgia on my mind.
I love it.
You're very mature.
I love it.
And you're a great writer.
Yes.
So here's what I think, mm-hmm. sweetheart. Georgia on my mind. I think your friend thinks that there is one kind of gay person, and it's Jonathan Van Ness, who says, yes, queen, mm-hmm, and wears skirts and heels and and stuff like that. I don't think it is at all inappropriate for you to take her aside and say, Savannah, not everybody is Jonathan Van Ness. You know, just because they're gay doesn't mean they're a stereotype. And I understand you were trying to make a connection with Macon and let him know that his being gay was not a problem with you, but you kind of made it a problem.
Yeah, it's a little bit more awkward now. I think for a lot of people, their frame of reference is only what they see on TV. And so I do think she was just trying to be very earnest and make friends and make a good impression. And you could take her aside and, you know, let her know that there are a lot of things about Macon that are really interesting, and being gay is only one of them. He likes all this amazing
music.
Maybe
being gay is the most boring thing about him. You know, it's just a fact.
He loves Joni Mitchell. He loves all this great music. He's so cool. He does these things. Maybe why not get to know him a little bit?
Was doing what she thought would make Macon more comfortable.
Yeah.
And she was wrong.
She was. I would say give her a pass.
But I would definitely address it.
Right.
As we said, and just say, you know how Jonathan is? Well, there's also Bobby.
Yeah.
And there's also Anthony, who hugged me twice.
Really?
Girl, I can't. You know this.
Oh.
I mean, my God. It smells so good.
I believe it.
Side note, I met Anthony from Queer Eye at an Amazon party during a book event weekend, and I'll never forget it.
That's
okay. But, you know, just looking at the Fab Five, if that's your kind of point of reference, there's five guys there, and they're all very different.
Yeah.
And not all of them are as over the top as Jonathan.
Right.
So I would tell her, you know, as Jess said, maybe talk to him about his taste in music, or has he seen any movies lately? Does he follow it on TikTok? The things that you young people talk about.
Yeah, whatever it is you talk about.
And then, regarding Macon, you say you think you've screwed up two friendships.
Right.
I doubt you have.
I don't think you have. But you could talk to him about it, too.
Absolutely.
Say to him, did that make you uncomfortable? Yeah. Or
say, I'm sorry that she was, you know, over the top. I think she was trying to show that she's okay with gay people.
Yeah.
Because you live in a state where it's a red state.
Right.
And it might not be
okay
with a lot of people to have someone gay in their circle. And and I think Savannah was just trying to go out of her way to say, I'm completely cool with that.
Yeah.
And she just overdid it.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure Macon understands this.
Yeah.
But I think it would be really nice for you to say, I'm sorry about my friend.
Yeah.
And first talk to Savannah.
Yeah.
So that you know what Savannah's intentions were. And then just say, Savannah, you know, just wanted to make sure that you knew she was an ally.
She's a good person.
And she's, you know, she's nice and she's a bit goofy and whatever.
Yeah.
But I hope it didn't make you feel uncomfortable. And if it did, I completely get it.
Right. I mean, this isn't a friend-ending moment. This is just an awkward moment.
Yes. Yes.
So just treat it as that. I don't think you need to make it into this big thing.
Mm-hmm.
Even though when I was high school, I would have made it into this massive thing.
Right.
Don't make it into a massive thing, because that might make people more uncomfortable. Just, it's an awkward moment. Smooth things over. And then carry on.
Right. And then, you know, once you've dealt with it, it's over.
Yeah.
And if Savannah's going to behave badly again, then say, you know, Savannah, it's just really uncomfortable when you and Macon are together and you treat him like Jonathan Van Ness.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sorry, we're not going to include you. Mm-hmm. Okay, you need to like educate yourself a little mm-hmm. bit, and mm-hmm. we'll talk to you soon.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like Macon is a sensitive and interesting young man, and I imagine that he will understand. But, you know, it's interesting, like you say, you knew maybe he was gay before he came out. Mm-hmm. I've had that experience with quite a few of my gay friends mm-hmm. where, you know, I knew them from childhood or high school or college. And then, you know, like they call me to tell me.
Yeah.
I have something to tell you. I'm gay. I'm like, oh, yeah, I know.
It's like, yeah, okay. Yeah.
And what movie are we going to see this weekend?
Yes, yes, yes.
You know, in our part of the country, where Joss and I live in New England, it's, you know, it's very underwhelming.
Yeah.
We have plenty of people who are gay, trans, LGBTQ plus, and I think you're doing the right thing by mm-hmm. being sensitive to mm-hmm. Macon's feelings and kind of being his watchdog.
Yeah.
Noticing that, you know, Savannah's kind of being an idiot, but maybe her heart is in the right place. This is a great moment for you to speak up.
Yeah.
Be the ally that yeah. it sounds like you are and just say, I think you made Macon uncomfortable. I know you made me uncomfortable. Right. And, you know, I also think that you were trying to make him feel welcomed mm-hmm. and accepted, but he's not that kind of person.
Right. Yeah, because, you know, Macon did come out to the entire school, and I imagine he's going to need more than one ally. So
mm-hmm.
It would be great if Savannah could get on board, and I think she really wants to.
I think so, too.
She just is not sure how to behave.
Right.
Right? And Macon can help her in that also, even though, you know, we all need to sort of research things and learn about things ourselves. So maybe that's something that you, Georgia, and Savannah can do is research how to behave with someone who has just come out.
Right.
What's the best way to proceed? And then proceed that way.
I think, right. And talk about cliches.
Yeah.
And there's this syndrome I'm aware of called my gay best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have a gay friend and how great. And you're so cool because you have a gay friend now. And, or trans or lesbian or queer, mm-hmm. you know, whatever it is. You want to make sure that Savannah genuinely is interested in Macon as a person.
Exactly. It.
Not just like, oh my gosh, I have a gay friend. I'm so cool. Right. Look at how woke I am.
Right.
So you want to make sure that, she's aware of these things. And as an ally,
mm-hmm.
which is the term for people who are not in that marginalized group, your responsibility is to tell her, point her in the right direction, mm-hmm. and then leave her to do her own work.
Mm-hmm.
It is not Macon's job.
No, that's right. It's not Macon's job. But I imagine that just by being himself and open with her, he can help her understand how he would prefer to be treated just by being himself.
You know what I would love is, you know, the next time you get together and Savannah is included, because you're going to give her a second chance, that she apologizes and says, Macon, I'm sorry. You know, I don't know anyone who is out at this moment or whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
Or my uncle is out, but he's extremely over the top. So that's why I referred to you as a queen or whatever, you know, and just kind of set things straight because they're both your friends.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they'll be friends too.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you create opportunities for people to connect this mm-hmm. way. And how lovely a thing is that?
It would be great. Just if she said, I'm sorry if I made things uncomfortable. If I was awkward. I didn't need to be. And then Macon can set the tone. No, that's fine. I understand. And you move on.
Right.
Carry on from there.
And just a reminder, this is a chapter in our book as well. The art of the apology is for Savannah to acknowledge that she made Macon uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Not that she meant well, not mm-hmm. that she had other intentions, not that she's totally cool with him being gay.
Mm-hmm.
It's about how Macon may have felt in that moment,
mm-hmm.
how you, Georgia, on my mind, felt in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
and that she take responsibility for the mood she may have created and apologize for it and not repeat it and be genuinely repentant. It's a teachable moment.
Yes. No excuses. So I'm sorry. Full stop.
I'm sorry. I assumed that you were like Jonathan Van Ness and I don't have a lot of gay people in my life, so I acted stupidly. Yes. I really apologize. That's and I would love to get to know you because you're George's friend. And so we already have that in common.
Yes. And the she end. Thinks you're great. Yeah, that's it.
The end.
You're done. It doesn't have to be too bad. It doesn't have to be too onerous or too scary.
I don't think you've ruined two friendships.
I don't.
I don't think Macon should hold you responsible for the actions of your friend.
I don't see. He's a brave kid. He outed himself on Zoom in front of his whole school.
Yeah.
I think one small awkward meeting is not going to break it.
I mean, she didn't say, you're going to burn in hell. Because, you know, I mean, so she just tried in her awkward, well-meaning way to make him feel accepted.
Exactly.
In the way that she perceives gays.
Yes.
And, you know.
Yeah.
Like, there's no one way of being black. There's no one way of being gay. There's no one way of being native, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
And honestly, we're all just learning at this point. So many things have, like, come to light for so many reasons over the last 4 years. And it's good to, like, be able to learn and improve and grow with this new knowledge, this new education.
When you know better, you do better.
Absolutely.
And you can kind of judge the character of a person by how willing they are to know better. So if Savannah is so defensive and she says, well, I don't know what your problem is. I was being perfectly lovely. You know, that's going to tell you something about Savannah. But if she acknowledges, like, I didn't know what to say. I just wanted him to know that I was okay and that I wasn't one of those people. Then you got something to work with.
Yeah, I like that.
And I think, you know, as someone myself who has had a lot to learn about white privilege and marginalized people and the assumptions that I make based on my upbringing and my community, it's up to me to learn things and adjust and shift my perspective, open my perspective, maybe. So if Savannah's willing to do that, good for her.
Yeah.
She's a good person.
Yeah.
You got something to work with. And, you know, if she's not, well, then you know something about that too.
That's information that's very helpful also.
But I definitely would address it with Macon and say, sorry for my friend, you know.
Yeah.
But I also would be able to say, I would like you to be able to say, I spoke with her about that awkwardness and I apologize.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
She's whatever. You know, you don't want to speak for her.
Right.
But you can say, I'm sorry if her presence made you uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Right? Because you didn't know she was going to act that way.
No.
You're just bringing your friends together.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm kind of hoping you guys are like the Three Musketeers now.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the happy ending to our story as we see it. And, you know, you sound like a super nice person. You definitely have a way with words.
I love the punning.
We love Macon, Savannah, Georgia on my mind. I mean,
the puns, come on.
Just the fact that you know the Ray Charles song.
I mean, you're already ahead of the game. Come on.
Let us know how it went, okay?
Yes.
Please write back.
Yes.
Joss.
There's nothing.
No.
I've already said things.
I know.
There's nothing.
We're searching for embarrassing personal problems. I'll tell you, I won't say it's embarrassing, but I yelled at someone recently.
Okay.
So we bought a new car.
Right. Because I saw it outside.
I totaled my other car.
right.
It was the smallest little bump.
Yeah.
And yet I somehow eviscerated
the
entire
whole
thing. It was like I stuck a sword in its gut all the way up to its head. So I totaled my beloved Derek Jeter.
Yeah.
And now I have a car whose name is Chief Brody.
Hopefully people get the reference.
The hero of Jaws, because I believe my car looks like a great white shark.
It kind
of
does.
It's the color. It's like that matte sleek. Gray.
Yes.
It's got kind of aggressive looking headlights.
Yes, yes.
So,
kind of prowling looking.
So we bought Chief Brody on a Friday.
Okay.
On Saturday, Chief stopped working. So we brought him to the dealership, okay. And they said, we don't know what's wrong. These cars are so new. Mm-hmm. We can't tell you anything.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I mean, the car is a day old. <You know? laughs> So the week passes and, you know, they're saying, we don't know what's wrong. And we're talking to the headquarters and yada, yada, ding dong. Mm-hmm. What I know is that I don't have my car. Mm-hmm. So a week later, I called up and I was talking to Steve and and I said, Steve, what's wrong with my car and when will it be fixed? And he's like, oh, this is wrong, but we don't know when the part will come in and, you know, supply chain. And, you know, I said, look, why don't you just take the part from one of the other cars on the lot, right? And stick it in mine. He's like, well, that's not how it works. And I said, well, it's not supposed to be how it works that I buy a car and a day later it breaks.
Yeah.
Right?
That's Steve.
So I'd be happy to come down to the dealership and go into the showroom and share my honest experience with you people.
That's right.
And he's like, no, you're threatening us. You have to talk to a manager. I said, you're damn right I have to talk to a manager. So at this point, I'm put on hold, and my husband pries the phone from my angry, stiff fingers. And then in a very irritating moment, there's a mono moment.
I hate that.
Where my husband is talking to Eddie and they're old buddies. Eddie says the part will be in tomorrow and the car will be back to us tomorrow. I'm like, well, Steve didn't tell me any
Why
of that.
Steve say
Steve
that?
Told me, I don't know when it will be in. It's indefinite. So it was very irritating. Mm-hmm. And then my husband took it upon himself to tell me that I had handled that badly.
The patriarchy!
Which did not go well for my husband.
I believe that. I absolutely believe that.
So, am I embarrassed for yelling at Steve? Oh. I have to say that it was a tough week. Mm-hmm. And there were other factors at play. Mm-hmm. But he was being a dick. Mm-hmm. And I regret nothing.
Yeah, I have to say that I applaud your reaction. Male listeners, if there are any, you don't know this, but I and most women dread dealing with car repairs because of this very same issue.
There is such sexism when dealing with mechanics, and it's a shame that we have to put our dads, brothers, or husbands
on. My 85-year-old dad I have to bring with me.
Yeah.
Come on.
Right. Hey, little lady.
Come on.
You know? So there is definitely still that attitude, and I'm not sorry that I yelled at him. I'm a little proud.
I mean, I think this is where we are in the world. This is what we have to do. My car, too, was not working. The fan was not working. So if I turned on the heat, nothing happened. Mm-hmm. But then I hit a pothole, and that works. And I'm really glad. Because now I don't have to go to the mechanic.
This is the old school way of fixing a car. You kick it.
Yes. Hit a pothole. Legit hit a pothole. Turn the thing. Oh, air. Wonderful. And now I don't have to go to the mechanic.
Yeah.
So I'm
and
really
it's a good thing
that.
You don't have to drag your 80-something-year-old dad with you.
My 85-year-old dad who's lying about his age. Not is he telling. Is he telling people he's 70? No. He's telling people he's 83. What does that do?
But listen, you know, I know Mr. Day. He looks like he's 81. He is a smooth customer. I'm still working on that adoption. Thanks for listening. Send your letters to theladies@crappyfriends.net and please consider leaving us a review.
Crappy Friends is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts you'll love at frolic.media/podcasts.
I'm Kristen Higgins.
And I'm Joss Day.
And we're best friends. Forever.